fans wanted.
Crazy, bro, that people scream development, and this is what development literally is. You got a team that's they're getting better year by year. You got three guys that you drafted in your starting rotation. You got a few others in your rotation coming off your bench. And it's like, you know the problem with Knicks fans? The Knicks fans don't have a lot of patience. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, what is going on, Knicks Anonymous family? Welcome back to another, or may I say, another glorious episode of
Knicks Anonymous, episode 108.
Episode 108, and as I can see, it's not just two of us. We got a very special guest in the building. Shout out to Ariel. I'm going to let Ariel introduce himself.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. You guys don't know me. I'm Ariel, Ari Hoops, 84. I run Go School Retro NBA. I basically talk about players from the past and role players, college teams, just basically teams of back in the days and players back in the day. So if you guys don't follow me on YouTube, it's Ari Hoops, 84, Go School Retro NBA. And it's on Spotify, Go School Retro NBA. So I got a lot of things cooking. I got Antoine Jameson tribute coming up this week.
Ooh, spicy. Yes, sir. So, yes, the links will all be down in the description. So, if you want to check it out, links in the description. Shout out to Ariel for joining us on this beautiful afternoon of basketball. I ain't gonna lie. I'm kind of enjoying the afternoon atmosphere of basketball. Ain't nothing like breakfast or brunch with the Knicks. You know what I mean? It just felt right. It felt good. They put on a show. Unfortunately, we had to wait like 3 days. I didn't really like that. It kind of felt like it was forever, right? It was just like a long break. So the Knicks have taken on the Charlotte Hornets and beat them is an understatement. We annihilated them 107 to 129. I'm going to pass this off to our guest, Ariel, you know, just to be a pure gentleman. Ariel, what did you see in that game, or what did you feel the Knicks did right in that game to give them that kind of win?
I got one word for you guys, man. I've been saying this for the last 2 years, continuity. And it's showing that these guys are trusting each other a little bit more, moving the ball a lot better, taking the shots with confidence. And listen, RJ Barrett's shooting almost 48% three-pointer. He's already 20th in the league in three-point percentage. So that goes to testament that he's putting in the summers with Drew Hanlon. And you could tell the ball movement is a lot better. Brunson is getting his assists. RJ, and who would have thought, right? Because the whole thing was with the narrative was that RJ and Julius couldn't coexist, which I've debunked for years. I went to war with that narrative. And it's proven it this season that you see these guys are trusting each other a lot more. They're playing off each other. They're trusting their instincts. They're not rushing the passes. They're not rushing their shots, and they're letting the game come to them. So the one thing that sticks out, that's the one thing that sticks out for me. The other thing is that bench mob. Is that I said it all year. I wanted Dante before we signed him. I wanted Dante 2 years ago when he was with the Bucks, and we finally got him. Huh?
Same.
Yeah, I wanted Dante. A lot of people were assaulting me, telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And I said, listen, man, if you guys, and that's where you know the difference between basketball purists, like pure fans, and fans of just their own team, because they don't know the value of certain players around the league. And you're talking about a guy that's won on all levels. I'm talking about this guy is called Delaware Jordan for a reason. Guy won multiple state titles. Obviously, the titles he won in Villanova was the best player on that title team, especially in the championship game. And, you know, he's just a high-level, high-winner player, high IQ, off-ball pass, defense, hustle. And a lot of stuff that Dante does, too, doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Not to mention he's a great three-point shooter, which is a great addition to the team because we all know this team couldn't hit an outside shot in the playoffs.
That was my biggest complaint last year.
They was doing charity work.
And I feel like if we had a Dante DiVincenzo like last year, we probably would beat Miami because they packed the paint on us and we couldn't hit an outside shot if our life depended on it. So you talk about the bench mob, but then let's go for my guy Isaiah Hartenstein, man. That guy doesn't get enough flowers for the things that he does on the court, especially being a backup big. Because, I know he struggled early last season, but he held himself accountable. And ever since he did that, it's been a 360 turnaround, man. This guy just does everything you need off the bench, glue guy. Josh Hart is finding his groove back. And, you know, Emmanuel Quigley, you can't say enough about him. He's going to get his money with the Knicks. They're going to match any offer. I assume they will because they love Emmanuel Quigley. And one thing that you got to love about this team is that they all fuck with each other on and off the court. And shit like that doesn't get talked about enough because you got to have guys all bought in, but you also have to have guys that like each other. Because that's going to make them a lot better. Because you could tell they hang out with each other outside off the basketball court. You can see the genuine love. Even if they get into a disagreement on the court, it doesn't spill into something else. It usually is just a pat on the back and they get over it like any other team. You know, even though people like to microscope certain things on that aspect, but we all know that happens with every NBA team, especially with stars or whoever they are. But I just love the team camaraderie. I love the route that they're going. Obviously, they manhandled, took care of business against a Hornet team that I know is not that good. And they took advantage of them because, you know, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And the first quarter, you could tell the way the game was going that the Knicks weren't playing no games with them. Julius Randle came out with a high intensity rebounding. He was taking it to PJ Washington. They had no answer for him. Mitchell Robinson, man. Let's give my guy Mitchell Robinson some flowers, man.
That's Stevie's guy. That is Stevie's guy
Let me tell you something, man. Mitchell Robinson does so many things. Yes, we know he does the rebounding, the shot blocking. You know, he's an interior presence. But like I told you before, man, he could be our Ben Wallace on this team, man. And that's okay. You know, he could catch his lobs. He could block his shots. And, you know, he's just an interior presence. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, a lot of these wins is that he's the number one guy that he alters a lot of shots from opposing teams in that paint, that it throws off their shot mechanics and their rhythm. So these are things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And the Knicks have a lot of these guys that you can't just look at a stat sheet and say, oh, well, they had a bad game. You got to have to watch the game to see the value that they have. So they just got a lot of different. I think this team has a lot of continuity. They're good. This guy's the limit for them. I had them at 53 wins in the third seed, and I'm sticking to that. And it's just, I love this group, man. The sky's the limit for them. They took care of business today.
Dude, great take, bro. And one thing I want to highlight out of that take is he said the chemistry. You know, the chemistry is very important because we always, the Knicks fan base and media always threw out the word rebuilding. Let's rebuild. And I don't think they really knew what it took to rebuild. And what we're seeing in the past, I'll say under the Tibbs era, the past 4 or 3 years, we've seen nothing but rebuilding. And a lot of people weren't fans of running it back this year. You know, people thought we were going to make some big trades or a bigger trade than what we did. But I think running it back was probably one of the, one of like an eye-opening thing for me. It was like, oh, like, we are showing trust. We are showing a sense of loyalty. And that goes a long way. Because RJ Barrett said it in an interview not too long ago after one of the games. And I think Rebecca Hall like asked him, like, what is it to you guys' success? Like, why are you guys so successful? And he goes, it comes down to just chemistry and knowing where my guys are going to be and how they're going to play. You know, that comes a long way, bro. Like, you know what I mean? And like you said, these guys love to play with each other. As much, if you were to look at the Knicks media, you would think the Knicks hate each other. You would think the Knicks hate each other if you just read Knicks media. And not a single person has come out and said anything bad about anybody. Not even Fournier. Fournier has his issues, but besides that problem he has with Tibbs, he has not come bad blood with anybody. Randle, Quickly, Brunson, nobody. There has been no team drama whatsoever. So that's very important to go. Great take. Stevie, what you got?
I'll start by saying at first I was concerned in the first quarter because LaMelo was kind of going off and he was kind of making it look easy with Mitch on the floor, despite the fact we had lead. And I was telling myself, we can't have this continue or this could be a problem. You know, but fortunately for me, I was wrong. The Knicks took control in the second quarter. And it was just a straight blowout. As Ariel said, continuity is a thing, bro. These guys look like they enjoy each other's presence. They look like they know where they all need to be to get their best shots, to be the best player. As far as like individually, RJ is going to be an all-star, bro. If he continues this, off the efficiency alone, he should be an all-star if this continues. Mitch continues, he should be first team all defense, because oh boy, I'm so glad I picked him as my breakout player.
Was a shocker, bro. Not for nothing, when you said that on that show, I was like, really, Mitch? Because I would have never thought of Mitch, because I think people see, in order for Mitch to take that next jump, he would have to show something offensively.
Nah, all he has to do is stay healthy. Mitch stays healthy, that's it. That's his breakout.
I don't think he's playing. The only knock on him is that he gets hurt a lot. If he stays healthy,
exactly. As far as I know, he hasn't played an 82 game season yet. But we don't even need that from him. You know, like if he gives us 70, 68, that's great. But overall, like just to sum it up, I love what I saw today, man. We didn't play down to the competition like we usually did, like last season, the season before. We dominated them. We made good decisions with the ball. We didn't turn the ball over like that. We missed free throws. That's still kind of a concern. But I think that'll work itself out because we do have a few inconsistent free throw shooters and one really bad one in Mitch, unfortunately. I have to point that out.
He's working on it, though. Clyde said it. You know, he's getting some arc on it. Usually he likes to say he takes the beeline with his free throws.
And that's all I want to hear, bro. We're bad at it, but if we keep working on it, we'll only get better. So that's why I'm not going to be negative about it. I'll just call it something that needs to be worked on. But overall, great win today.
And I agree. One thing that I wanted to point out was the offense. I really like the way the offense was gelling today because I feel like in our past shows, we've had our negatives on the offense and, you know, it not running properly. You know, I had a problem with that motion at the top of the key. I can't stand that. It works when it's used like this. And what I mean is, so Tibbs was actually like spamming the high the free throw line extended. He would put Mitchell Robinson and Ihart on top of that free throw line, give them the ball, have them turn and look, have cutters on the side, and that was beautiful. That was working, like it was golden, bro, because that's we have slashers.
We're actually cutting, bro. I love it,
bro. We have slashers. RJ's a big body, throw him at the rim. Randall, big body, throw him at the rim. And then have everybody else just sit tight and waiting for the three, like Quentin Grimes, Dante DiVincenzo. That's their job. You know, even though we want Quentin Grimes to go to the basket more, at the time being, he just needs to sit out there and hit his threes. You know, if he has a chance to go to the basket, go to the basket. But for the most part, you know, I think he's good where he's at. But I really like the cutting specifically. I saw a lot of motion. And that was something Mike Breen and Clyde was highlighting throughout the game. And that's something we don't see a lot. So hopefully, you know, they're trying something, they see it works, and hopefully they can improve on it and use it more frequently going forward. Because then if this is the case, we are seeing an evolution in Tibbs' offensive coaching. Because we always said that Tibbs wasn't a good coach offensively. So that offense I saw today was pretty solid, if you ask me, bro. It was using everybody's strengths, specifically Ihart's, because Ihart is a good passer. He makes good decisions. And to have him on the free throw line and have him catch the ball, turn and face and look, it's a big responsibility to have, bro. Because now you have the option to hit the back door, or you have the option to shoot it, or you have the option to give it back, set the screen, do the pick and roll, which I also like too, the pick and roll. Godly. If we use all these things at the same time, bro, our offense is going to be a force to be reckoned with, specifically with the assets that we have. Because now, like I said, they're using these guys' strengths to their advantages. Like Randall is going straight to the basket more often now. He's starting to shy away from the jump shots a little bit. He knows he's struggling, so now he's going to the basket. Now, granted, you know, the Hornets are a weaker team, so when it comes to stronger teams, he's going to have to figure things out, you know, try to get the jump shot down. Or, you know, maybe they try something, you know, they run him as a screener instead of a scorer. You know, there's multiple different things you could do with Randall. And that's why I like Randall. A lot of people only see Randall for his scoring. Randall is an overall well-rounded player. It could be a screener. It could be a rebounder. He was playing pretty good defense today. You know, not the greatest, but dude, he was moving his feet, not in foul trouble. Like, when have you really seen Randall in foul trouble? He's not a fouler. You know what I mean? So he's been doing pretty well. Dude, Mitchell Robinson showing a little some posting and toasting a little bit. A little something.
I need more of that, bro. I need more of that from Mitch, man. At least the effort, bro. And you mentioned Grimes before. I need more from him too, man. It's concerning to me, his offense, bro. And I don't mean it like he's doing bad, because percentage wise he's not doing too bad. I think he's 41 regular, 37 from three, if I'm not mistaken. You gotta up that regular percentage, but it's not too bad, you know what I mean? I think he gotta up it, but for the most part, bro, I need him to be more aggressive. I said it many times. I understand why it's going on because you got a few ball dominant guys and they're going to get most of the offense. I get that. That's not his fault. But at least twice a quarter, bro, be selfish. You know what I mean? Like, and I said this in another episode. I'm going to say something. It sounds dumb, but make a bad decision. And what I mean by that is, like, go for it. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, I don't want him to force anything, though. You know what I mean?
Like, no, when I say make a bad decision, I mean, like, I don't mean turn the ball over, do something stupid. You know, I'm saying make a bad decision because, like, I want you to be like, all right, I see the opportunity to get this basket. He can't guard me. I'm going for it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that at least once or twice. Hopefully it doesn't lead to a bad decision. But, like, what I mean by that is go for it.
Word. Ariel, how do you feel about Grimes?
Honestly, man, I know what the impact he does. I would like the three-point shooting to be a little more consistent because I do feel like a lot of times that it's kind of rushing to his shot a little too much. And he's not letting the game come to him. But obviously we know why he's on that starting unit, because he's the one that has to guard a lot of the team's best scorers. And he does a really good job at it. And I've seen him in a couple of wins that we had. He made a lot of contested shots in key moments that threw our players' shots rhythms off. So I know what Grimes brings. But alluding to what Stevie said, I would like him to, you know, so I don't know if he's instructed to do it, but there's a lot of times that he goes in the paint. And he's a pretty good finisher at the rim. I mean, when he's actually attacking. I would like him to actually take it up sometime instead of kicking it out. I don't know if it's Tibbs or, you know, Johnny Bryant or the guys are obstructing him to do that, but I want him to take it up aggressively because I think he's a good finisher out there. He's a good cutter, too, by the way.
Yeah. Underrated at that, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably one of the team's best cutters.
He's one of the fastest. I think he's one of the fastest players in the league, too. He got the quickest first step or something like that.
Yeah, he used to be a point guard in high school.
So there you go, man.
I didn't know that.
So I think when it comes down to Grimes, I think it's just me because he's still fairly new. Like, he's not a vet. He's not a rookie. He's right in the middle. So I think he's just still, like, I'll say this. He's shooting more than he was last year. I'll give him that. So I think as he's going, he's just trying to learn what shots to take, when to not take them. And if that's the case, I'm fine with that. It's a learning experience. But I do agree. At some point, I would like him to make those decisions to be like, you know what? I'm here. Let me dunk it. Or let me lay it up. Even if I get blocked. You know what I mean? Just put pressure on the big man. You know what I mean? Because then it gives off a level of respect now. Because now, let's say you do want to get off that pass. If the center's overcommitting, because remember, Grimes used to always get that pass off to Mitch on the inside every time. He used to drive in and do that little wraparound pass to Mitch. It's not there no more because now teams are starting to realize, like, yo, once he gets too deep, he's going to pass it. He's not even going to go up for it. So now if you go up for it, it changes the game plan. Like, oh, now I got to commit. So once I commit, that's it. Boom, pass. So I feel like if he scores more, it opens up his passing the way he wants to do it. So good points all around the board. All right. So with the game out the way, the Knicks are officially one game over 500, 5-4. Looking good so far. Looking good. Random haters are quiet, but we're going to get to that. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Ariel, we're going to get there. I know this is what the people want. This is what the people want. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But next on this list, we have a good old segment, bringing it back. The good old, is it just me or? Now, for today's is it just me or? It is. Is it just me or is Broadway Barrett turning into All-Star Barrett?
Absolutely.
Ariel, I'm going to let you start with that one.
Absolutely, man. You see my tweets. I've said this countless times. I even went as far as saying that I may think he might make his first All-NBA team if he keeps playing like that. But I said it at the beginning of the year. I said the Knicks will go as far as how RJ Barrett takes them, because he's that X factor on the scene. We know what we're going to get from Randle. We know what we're going to get from Brunson. But on that starting unit, if RJ Barrett continues to play this way, it's going to make this Knicks team a very dangerous team. I didn't think he was going to shoot the ball so well this year as far as a three ball. But you can tell, when I see RJ pulling up off the break with threes, I know that man is confident. So Drew Hanlon, yo, and shout out to Drew Hanlon, man. We got to give Drew Hanlon a lot of credit because he's been working on his shot mechanics all offseason. And obviously, it's a testament to all the work that RJ Barrett has put into his shooting, because you can see it's more fluid, it's more consistent. And the guy's almost shooting 50% from three. Nobody would have thought that. So for him to even be in that and then actually be the 20th in the league, and I'm talking about it, not in the East, in the league, he's 20th in three-point percentage right now. So that guy keeps playing like that. It's All-Star Barrett and All-NBA Barrett.
Good take, bro. Good take. A lot of people are going to be like, I already see the haters. Like, oh, he's going to drop off. But Stevie got something for that. So, Stevie, go ahead.
I mean, I'll start off with that point since you brought that up. 50%. Will he keep it up? I hope so, but I seriously doubt it. But at the same time, even if it does drop off, let's say it drops off to what? 42%. Big drop off. But at the same time, career high in three-point percentage. And 42% is a pretty good percentage for three-point shooters. He'd still be amongst one of the league leaders. Because everybody that's killing right now from three isn't going to keep that up all season. Not even the best shooters. So, with that said, is RJ All-Star Barrett? As I said before, he keeps these percentages up. He damn sure should be. But I'm going to throw this out there. We know how the NBA rolls. And we know how they don't, for some reason, like the Knicks. I think the possibility's there. He'll kill this year, get robbed for that spot because the NBA does what it does, and his first spot will be next year. So I guess to answer the question, yes, he'll definitely be All-Star Barrett, at least eventually. As far as his role on the team, yeah, Ariel's right. It definitely goes through him, bro. Like, it all depends on where RJ goes, whether he goes up or down. I don't see him going down. He's either going to stay the same or he's going to go up. And at the moment, he's going up. That's great. He keeps that up. He also might be All-NBA Barrett, like Ariel said. But and to add to that, kind of getting off topic here, but I always said him developing and becoming the third, second, or hell, even the first option would be the best case scenario for this regime rather than making a huge all-star trade. Because he develops into that other all-star, we don't need to make a trade. We just build with what we got.
Homegrown. That's it. Like we wanted. Like mm-hmm. we wanted. The exactly. real Knicks fans. What the real Knicks fans wanted.
Crazy, bro, that people scream development. And this is what development literally is. You got a team that's they're getting better year by year. You got three guys that you drafted in your starting rotation. You got a few others in your rotation coming off your bench. And it's like, you know the problem with Knicks fans? The Knicks fans don't have a lot of patience. That's what it boils down to. And you look at the Denver Nuggets, I always use the Nuggets as a prime example of that. They failed multiple times. All they did was keep adding more pieces and bringing the same unit back and just getting incremental pieces in there like the Bruce Brown. And, you know, adding like a dry, you know, and then drafting somebody that was still in the second round in Braun. And, you know, you can do stuff like that. You can build that way. It's not always that you have to draft a superstar all the time. Sometimes that takes time. And RJ Barrett's an example of that because a lot of people were writing him off early in his career and not being patient with him. And that's why it kills me when Knicks fans say, oh, we need to draft. What? So you could get the guy that you drafted out of here and then bring another guy in here that you could pick on. And then you could tell him, and then you could downplay whatever he's doing, shit on him, and lose faith in him when you don't realize that every player develops at different rates. And you got to have patience, man. Everybody's not an instant star right away.
That's a fact. That's definitely a fact.
And Barry's a 5-year veteran, and he's still like 23.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a child.
So that's what we do now. We write off 23-year-olds. Come on, man.
That seems to be the process with Knicks fans these days, man. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
They got the wandering eye, man. They think they you know what? They don't appreciate who they have on their team. They always think the next guy on the other team is the best, is the guy we need to bring here.
Until the guy we let go comes back and drops 40 on us.
Yeah. Yeah, then they learn.
That's what's going to happen to Randall. A lot of the Randall haters.
We're not trading Randall, bro.
Be really scared if we trade Randall because who on our team is guarding him?
Good point.
Be really scared.
Like, they talk about this guy like he's Ruben Patterson, right? This guy gets game planned night in and night out from legendary coaches to be stopped. Double teams thrown at him left and right. You don't get doubled like if you're a scrub. You get doubled because you're a force.
You're a problem.
You're a star in this league.
You're a problem. That's a fact. So, okay, wait. It's leaking out. My inner anger is coming out. Hold on. We're going to save it. So, back to RJ. RJ is kind of is a funny case. I'm going to tell you why. Because RJ's game is not complex whatsoever. It's so simple. He goes to the basket and he shoots the ball. That's it. He doesn't have a bag. He doesn't have, you know what I mean? He just goes to the basket and he shoots the ball. That's it. So when my problem with RJ is I thought that he needed, when he was coming up with us, I thought he needed a bag because I thought he was easy to guard. Turns out this dude is bigger than, like, I'd say 80% of the guards and small forwards in the league right now. You know, he's a really big dude. I think his weight and size is really underestimated for his position because he plays a three, but he's really a two. So imagine if we had RJ at the two position. What two guard is guarding him in the league? You know, so the fact that he found out what's good about RJ is he found out his strengths. He found out he's stronger than everybody. So boom, how do I tailor this to my game? I go to the basket. Okay. Now I go to the basket and get blocked. He's like, all right, let me figure this out. He came out. He came in one season, came out, said, all right, let me see if I add a nice little, I don't know, a nice little euro under the basket, you know, go up and over. Added that to his bag. Then he goes, all right, that's getting stopped. Now let me add a little get in post fade. That's it. Now he's going, all right, my jump shot is bad. Let me tailor it. Let me pick apart here and there what's going on. Boom, jump shot. And I'm not even talking about three-pointer. I'm talking about mid-range. We got RJ stopping and popping now. Mm-hmm. He has evolved his game crazy. Like, the development of RJ, when you really look at his game, he went from a simple, like, he had a jump shot. Not to disrespect his jump shot, but he had a very simple to-the-basket game. You know, he was starting to get pretty easy to guard, and that was my problem with him. But then he expanded, okay? And I'm not going to give all the credit just to him. I'm going to give it to him specifically because he put in the work. But I'm going with this because we have a very interesting comment about Tibbs. Ain't that right, Stevie?
Oh, that's what we're going into next?
No. Wait. We're going to get there next. But this is going to lead into. We had a very interesting comment that Tibbs isn't. And I know this was the story for a long time with Tibbs. That he doesn't develop players. For as long as RJ's been playing, besides Fizdale, because we all know how that worked out, he's been developing. And to say he did that all by his own is it's kind of ignorant, if you ask me. Did he put in the work? Of course. But, bro, you got to have the right guidance around you. And he did. And he took all that guidance, he took all that knowledge, and he became a better defender, thanks to Tibbs. You know what I mean? Because if it's not Grimes guarding the best offensive player, it's going to be RJ. However, I would rather Grimes first, you know, obviously. But if Grimes is out for whatever reason, say he gets injured or something, and Barrett is next guy up. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I got no problem with that. It's not a drop off at all. Maybe just like a little bit, but overall, not at all. So is RJ All-Star Barrett?
Yeah.
Keep this up? Absolutely. Yeah. He's been improving every single year. So at some point, if he keeps improving and doesn't cap off, let's say he does cap off at this. This is crazy. You can see the difference his game makes for everybody else. Because now he's a shooter, you're going to have to think twice about zoning us. You could zone us. You can. But now you're really going to have to be very careful with how you do it. Because if you give RJ some room, because I've seen RJ hit some... It's not that RJ's hitting open threes. He's hitting contested three-pointers. Yeah. I've seen him hit some serious contested three-pointers, even inside the paint, off the dribble sometimes. Maybe one dribble, sidestep. Who are you, RJ? What's going on here? Maple Mamba at his finest. So I don't think RJ's going to cap here. But even if he does, the improvement from when he started to now, I would say is all-star level. He's everything you want, bro. He's a big two that drives the ball efficiently. He gets to the free throw line, and he fixes free throws. So now that when he gets to the free throw line, he's going to hit him. He's starting to, like everyone said, like he might finish this year 43% from three. Career high, bro. That's crazy. So, like Stevie said, though, I think he might get snubbed. I think because he's not, like I said, he's not flashy. He's very simple. So that might be the only reason the NBA doesn't give him that chance.
It's gonna be a Brunson snub like last year.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you.
I think so. But what I do want RJ to win, though, I think he should win most improved player. That's just my opinion, because he has literally been improving every single year, and now he's improved to a point where he is now an all-around player. He's a defender, he's a three-point shooter, he's a mid-range shooter, he's a slasher. Dude, that's four different things in one player. And he's doing it good. Maybe, you know, he's working on the three. It's, you know, the 3 points not efficient yet, but it's looking pretty efficient to me. And if he keeps this up, dude, you got a guy that's four deep. Four things deep in one player. And that's your number three pick. Because I remember the conversation was out there. Oh, out of the three, he's the worst. Out of Ja Morant, Zion. I don't know, bro. I don't think that that's aging pretty well. Granted,
you know,
Zion.
You know what he has over them, though?
What?
One, he has durability. And that goes a long way. He doesn't get hurt, and he doesn't have off-the-court issues that these guys have.
No
and
drama.
At the end of the day, though, when you have that over two play, you know, two players that, while you might think their offense, you know, they're better overall, that goes a long way, and it's a testament to all the hard work that he puts in. It not only is he gets better on the court, but he's also he keeps away from the bullshit off the court.
That's a fact.
The Grizzlies not looking too good at the moment, too.
Oh my god, have they won a game yet?
I'm not sure, but at the moment they're not looking too good. I'm not saying they're gonna stay bad, but at the moment they're not looking good.
Dude, and Zion, I've been saying this forever, bro. Zion would not be able to handle New York, bro. He would be a J.R. Smith, bro. He'd be in the clubs. He'd be, yeah, bro. He's not ready, bro. Yeah, porn stars, all that.
That's it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. He'd be in the hookah lounges. $20 hookahs. All right, so now we get into the nitty-gritty of stuff, right? Now, Randall... The Daily News came out with an article about Julius Randle. Let me pull it up right here. So Julius Randle was, I think they basically just asked him how he felt against, because bro, he's not deaf. Randle definitely sees what's going on amongst the Knick community and the fan base, and let's just say it's not positive whatsoever. If you saw Knicks Twitter, Knicks media, you would think the Knicks are 0-9, right? So, he goes, "What did you expect?" That was the headline. What did you expect? And Julius Randle is giving the people the thumbs down yet again, just not literally, but a little bit more professionally, right? He, you know, he's using his
word. That's what I got out of it.
No, that's exactly what it is. I mean, dude, like, he's not blind, bro. Like, with the amount of negativity, bro, it's like, I'm surprised he's even still here. But, Randall, please stay. We love you. Please. So, this is his quote. He goes, I had surgery 4.5 months ago, and it's lower extremity surgery, meaning it's, you know, the ankle. So to think that I would come into this season and just be Julius off the bat is kind of naive. I knew from the beginning it was going to be a process. So obviously he's taking exception to some noise and telling the people what it is. And Knicks Anonymous, Ariel, we've been preaching this for the longest. You know, coming into the season, I even said it, Julius Randle had lost weight, a lot of weight. And it never dawned on me as to why until, like, maybe the third game of the season. And I'm like, oh, shit. He lost weight because it's an ankle surgery. So put two and two together. Ankle surgery, a lot of weight. Look at Zion. Zion got hurt multiple times because he couldn't lose the weight. So I think Randle lost all that weight, not only because he couldn't practice or work out, but also because he needs to make sure he doesn't hurt that ankle again. Cause, bro, ankle's no joke. Ankle holds most of your weight. It holds all the body weight, pretty much. And his game is very movement based, very elusive, very hard body. So that's a lot of, especially if he keeps the same weight. That's taxing, and he may very well hurt that ankle again. And there's also a psychological role in it. You know, I'm sure you guys are athletes. I'm sure you guys have had injuries to the point.
I've had ankle injuries before playing ball, and I know what it feels like. That's why I used to go for everybody. It's like, you know what the thing with Twitter is, bro? Is that a lot of people pretend to be doctors and act like they played the game before. So when you're a person like me who's played basketball, you know, organizationally in my life, you see the game a lot differently than the people that just sit on the couch and just have these opinions. And not to sound fucked up, but you can look at them and can tell that they never were athletes at one point. You know what I'm saying? Because the way they speak, the way they talk about these players, like they're AI robots. Like, yo, it's not a video game and you hit play now and then Julius Randle's going to be just all NBA after coming off surgery. It doesn't work that way. This guy's a human being at the end of the day. So then people would say, oh, well, if he's messing up the team or hurting the team because he's, you know, because he's not in rhythm, then why don't he sit? And anybody that's had an ankle injury will tell you that the only way you can start getting back to rhythm is by playing through it. Because the more you keep fluid on the ankle and you keep playing, the more confidence you build. You can see it gradually. It wasn't showing up on the stat sheet, but I'm going to point out that Milwaukee Bucks game, especially in that fourth quarter, you could tell when he was guarding Giannis, he was giving Giannis hell in that fourth quarter, altering the shots and everything. And not only that, he was trusting the ankle and taking it to the rack a lot more, putting more weight on it. So that's a game-by-game thing, and I knew that's why I wasn't worried. I let people have their little 60 minutes of fame, and, you know, they couldn't wait to get their, you know, get their buttholes drenched and then with the random narrative. I don't worry about that. I worry about, because I know that you don't go from all that two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA after having a major ankle surgery and turn into a bum. It doesn't work that way, especially at his age. This guy's not 33 years old. You know, you're talking about somebody that's 28 years old. You knew he was going to come back to form, and I'm glad my guy's back. That's Big Jew.
That's Big Jew, bro. So, yeah, Stevie, how you feel about that?
Bro, I'll put it to you like this. I had a minor ankle sprain once, and that shit was painful. So I could only imagine a major one.
Surgery at that.
Yeah, exactly. I've even had minor
and surgery. And he played. Let's not forget about that. He had that injury and played with it in the Miami series.
Yeah, exactly. So,
he heard it twice.
Look at that. I mean, for anybody that says this guy has weak mental health or is weak in any way, dude, he played on two bad ankles. Come on, man. Half of us would call off work if we had two bad ankles. If you play a professional
basketball, y'all would call off work.
That's a hot take. Like, that's a hot take.
So, I mean, like, you know what I think? I think people purposely took him out of context just because of who he is, bro. Because if anybody else would have said that, they'd have been like, oh, yeah, it's logical. That makes sense. Because, bro, yeah, it's right. That's the truth, bro. You can't sit on a bad ankle, because the more you sit on it, the weaker it gets. That's only logical, bro. Again, like LJ said, that holds most of your weight. And like Ariel said, to get through it, you got to play through it or move around with it. You know what I mean? Even if you don't play, you at least got to practice. This dude chose to play. People are hating on that. Come on, man. Like, get a guy, you know, something. Saying, Steve, I'm not saying
they'll say that, Steve, right? And then they'll be like, oh, well, he's hurting the team. But like, all right, so you would rather have the guy sit for a while, come back in mid-November, maybe December, and then have him struggle in December when games start getting really, really important, rather than let him work out the kinks in the first week or two. Like,
that's what I'm, yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't get it.
We never will.
At this point. We never will.
Like, it makes just no
hate
sense
at this point. It's not about basketball that he will win. Down to.
We never will understand why. You know what? And I think it's coming. I think me and Stevie specifically, I don't know how you've been, Ariel, how you've been defending yourself in the Knicks.
I do,
Twitter.
Man. Sometimes I'm not beat for it. And there's other times I'm like, you know what? I got time today.
Bro, I'll tell you this. There's been a few times where people commented and we was like, nah, I ain't going to comment on this one. And then other comments, I'll be like, all right, this one's a little, you know what I mean? He's a little sensible. Some people are sensible and they come with good points. Those are the people I'll engage with. But the other people that be like, oh, I'm going to trade Randall for a bag of chips and soda, I don't want to engage with that, bro.
You Jeremy bring Grant. They want to trade him for Jeremy Grant, some of them.
And Carl Anthony Towns.
They even made an All-Star team.
And if folks out there, if you're wondering, let me see some examples. Oh, we got some examples for you. So, Stevie, since we're here in this topic, let's read off some comments. We got a new segment called, what was it? Good take, bad take. So, since the Nick community feeds off negativity, let's start with the bad takes, right? So go ahead, Stevie. What were the bad takes?
Yo, somebody really said on Twitter, I'm not going to say who, because we're going to keep it anonymous.
Yeah, we're going to keep everything anonymous. Good and bad, we're going to keep it anonymous.
I'm not going to say the whole tweet, but to pretty much, paraphrase their point. Basically, their point is our young players developed in spite of the coach. In other words, they developed as a fuck you to the coach.
How are we thinking of that, Ariel?
No, man. I kind of have an idea who it was because that sounds like somebody very similar. Yo, that's just awful. And it's just, you know, this goes back to when we were talking about the injury. You could tell who picked up a basketball and who played it and the ones that never did. Because to make that type of comment, to say it to anybody that knows about development, especially when you're playing basketball organizationally, coaching has a major factor. Yes, your teammates have a factor, but also who you're developing under and your coaches. I'm not saying Tibbs is the only one. I'm not saying that, but you can't say that he's not a part of it. He is the head coach after all. Yes, Johnny Bryant plays a part, all the assistants, Dice, everybody. But at the same time, we got to give respect when it's due. He's made adjustments throughout this year, especially within these last few games. And you gotta give him credit where it's due. That's not saying you're a stan. That's not saying you're what they say, it's an apologist, that new thing people say, or you're an apologist. No, I'm going to give my guy respect where the respect is due. Like, there's nothing wrong with giving somebody the respect that is due.
Yeah, we're in a fan base where this was the comment too a while ago, but this isn't part of the show, but it goes along with this. But it was something along the lines like, you don't get commended for something you're supposed to do. I'm like, bro, what kind of logic is that?
So you want the guy to do better, and then when he does things that you want him to do, you don't get credit for that. So you see, it's like it's mental gymnastics, and people like those accounts, though, eventually, once I stop talking, I'll just mute them. And I don't even want to see that girl. Every time I open my thread and I see you've muted this account, I don't even open it anymore. I know usually it's coming from somebody that's not coming from a sensible standpoint.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, listen, we said it, look it. Nick's Anonymous, and I'm sure Ariel too, it's a safe place. We're always open for conversations. But come with sense and knowledge. Don't come with emotions. I get it. We're an emotional fan base, and you can have emotions. But back up your emotions with some common sense and some facts. Because if you don't, you're going to get muted, like Ariel said. Or you're going to get harassed. Or not harassed, but you're going to get shouted out by us. Because Nick's Anonymous is turning into the villains of the Nick community right now, low-key. So, by all means, we'll take that role.
Listen, man, I've been a villain, bro. And I love that role. I thrive in that, man. Because you might not like me. You might not like what I say. But when I say what I say, it's because I actually did my research. And I'm not talking from emotion. I'm talking from what I've seen and what I can tell with the stats and what I see with my eye test. Both are true.
Exactly, bro. And it's a level of disrespect somewhat because we put in a lot of work into our craft. We do the research. We have the numbers. And for us to just be like showed up by somebody who's just yelling nonsense, it's annoying, bro. It's really annoying because it's like, why do I even do the work? Why do I even bring up all these facts if you're just not even going to listen to me? So that, you know, I mean, we're not even going to entertain that no more. It hurts my mental, low-key.
And just to throw this out there, let's say they did want to sabotage the coach. Wouldn't they play bad to do that?
Yeah.
Like, logically
speaking, that's usually what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So in my brain, I was like, okay. So they said, ha-ha, we're going to develop and become better players. And we're going to do it in spite of the coach. And we're going to win. And we're going to get better.
There's a lot of stuff that I read. It's like, I'll be like, you ever been like midway typing? And then you're like, you know what? Is this even response even worth
yes.
a response?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. Yes. Many times. Yes. I can
respond to it.
Yes, many bro. Times. I've deleted so many rants, bro. not nice words. I had to change my vocabulary. All right, so Stevie, what was the second one?
Second bad take. Oh, God. This one was horrible.
This was the worst one.
Somebody on Instagram tagged us in a video. I'm not even going to shout out the podcast.
And just to give some lore, we had a disagreement with him 2 days before he tagged us into a post. So that means he was sleeping on us for 2 days. He was sleeping with us in his mind for 2 days. So go ahead, Stevie.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's... Go ahead.
He tagged us in some podcast... And basically, the point of, like, I think it was, like, a minute-long video. was Julius Randle is the biggest fraud in the history of the NBA.
Just like that.
I can think of one fraud bigger than him, Tom Donahue. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but you know who I'm talking about, Ariel, the ref.
Mm-hmm. Tim Donahue.
Yes. Yeah. That's a fraud. Mm-hmm. That's a fraud. Yeah, why is Julius Randle a fraud?
With me, when it comes to fraud, right? In order to be a fraud, you have to claim something that you're not. When has Julius Randle ever claimed to be anything? Anything. Anything at all. If you want to be honest, Randle has said nothing in the majority of his career with the Knicks except the thumb down thing. Other than that, he has never said, "Oh, I'm coming here to bring a chip. I'm coming here." He's coming here. He said, "I'm coming here to win games to help the team as much as I can." That's it.
He's done that. Just throw it out there.
The Knicks fan base has labeled. I think the main problem with the Knicks fan base and Randle is the Knicks fan base themselves have thrown their own labels onto Randle, because I've seen in a lot of these arguments, people say, oh, he's supposed to be the first option. He's supposed to be the all-star. He's supposed to be the superstar. He's supposed to be this. He's supposed to be the main option. That was our first initial thinking, like in year one. You people are still in year one thinking. That was our thought in year one. But then what happened? He fumbled and failed as the first option. We got Jalen Brunson. And it helped because we realized he wasn't the first and not even the second option, because RJ Barrett came into the picture. And now if you want to look at the hierarchy, if you asked me, I'd say it's Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, and Julius Randle. So he's not, people still think he's the first option because he's making $120 million, which is not even a big contract. It's mid-level.
And you know what's crazy, Juan, is that this whole team, if you look
at... Oh my God, he said my government. Ariel, stop it.
Oh, my bad. You know what's crazy? Like, when you look at the whole, like, the contract situation of every player on this team, they're all on team-friendly deals. They're not, there's not one awful contract. Actually, there's players that are getting underpaid for what the production that they're putting up.
If Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson.
I think Randle's the top on that list.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if we make, you think about it, if the Knicks, let's get one thing straight. The Knicks have never, people say, they kill me with the whole, oh, well, we're not going to get nothing back for him. It's like the Knicks have never once made him available. Regardless.
Good point.
So I didn't know that.
Good point.
You're projecting your feelings onto what you think his value is. Because I guarantee you, if the Knicks, they won't happen, but because they love, they're invested in them. But if the Knicks would have put Mark Randle on the market, they would be a pretty good team that would snatch him up real quick. A playoff contending or a title contending team would take him.
And a hard
kindly take him as their third option.
Mm-hmm. Oh, D, we should be honored. Cause bro, we got a two-time All-NBA, two-time All-Star, most improved player on $120 million.
Bro, that's one of the best contracts in the NBA.
I'm gonna let people do their research. Let everybody else do their research. We've done enough talking of numbers. You people do your own research and you tell me in the comments what $120 million is worth in the entire NBA overall. Bro,
him and Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson, for the production they bring, even by the averages, are probably the best contracts in the NBA. Name me players paid at their level producing the way they are. Most of the players producing at their level have max contracts. That's what people don't understand.
And the list goes on, bro. So, okay, so we got the bad takes. Of course, there are also good takes. So I will read off one of the good takes. One of them reads, I believe people just hate Randle because of the thumbs down incident. And no matter what he does for the team, good or bad, he will be demonized.
Oh, yeah, that's a fact.
I 100% agree. And people swear to this day they let that go. But oh my goodness, bro, that lives rent-free right here in a lot of Knicks people's mind. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because Ariel, you remember that video I put up with the Julius Randle? What I said, if you thought that he was the main reason we lost yesterday, you're the problem.
Yeah.
That was like that voice message I sent you and all that stuff. Yeah. Bro, if you hit Knicks fans in their ego, oh my goodness, you will live in their mind forever.
Yes.
Forever. Bro, all I said was you're the problem. And oh my goodness.
You started a civil war, man.
Dude, civil war? It was World War III. Civil war. There was nukes flying and shit. Yo, bro, I was getting the hairline comments. You're a bozo. Oh my goodness, it was a mess, bro.
Oh yeah, we got called a lot of names.
Dude, it's a mess.
We got called Goofy like 12 times.
Dude, it was a...
Is that like a new age insult now? Because they call it
Goofy, yeah.
Like a lot of times.
When somebody's insulting you, when somebody's personally insulting you and they don't have a comeback, is because they don't have answers for it. So their way of reflecting is trying to put you down and discourage you from what you're doing. Guys are doing is great. Don't listen to none of that, man. Because every time I listen to a ton of content creators, and some of them that I kind of fell away from because they started becoming like that and narrative based and not enough basketball talk and just emotions. This is not one of those places where I want to come and listen to it. I'm going to hear what went on in the game, what people like, and I'm going to be presented with facts. I'm not going to be presented with emotional, biased takes because they don't like someone. You know what I mean?
You heard it here, folks. Yo, good luck, Ariel. I appreciate that, bro. You heard it here. Bro, we here for the people, bro. We are the people's voice.
We need more of them, man, because there's not too many left.
You already know, bro. That's what we here for, man. Bro.
A lot of people are gimmick-based, bro. Like,
oh, wait, Stevie. Wait. You had something to say about that, right? You said you're going to go off on like a little speech, a little rant about what kind of podcast we are.
I'm
going to
save that for another day.
All right.
This is actually a happy week.
All right.
Cool. We spoiled the Wemby party. They had the confetti and the parade ready for him.
Not forget the super team that they created in LA.
Oh yeah, we spoiled James Harden's debut. That was the most lucky
super team ever.
We've been breaking stereotypes lately. Like we've been because usually someone's debut they go for 40 and Harden did horrible. And then when Wemby came, we left him to like damn near 0 points. So, Knicks is brand new, baby.
You missed the name, though. You missed the name. You know what name you missed? That he just played tonight. Who it is?
LaMelo?
You know who it is. Ish Smith, bro. There wasn't an Ish Smith.
Oh, yeah. He a Nick killer. Nick Ish Smith. Yeah, bro, not for nothing. When he checked in, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh.
I was like, uh-oh. You're right.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I was afraid of Scary Terry, too, but he didn't play. I'm not going to lie. He might have been a problem. I ain't going to lie. He might have been a problem. All right, so last good comment. So someone said, bro, I feel you 100%. The hate we give our own players is disgraceful. The man averaged 25 and 10 last season, and he's trash. It's no wonder no superstars want to come here with this toxic fan base.
I want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
He's right about the fact that a lot of players didn't want to come here because of our toxic fan base, but that narrative is slowly dying, bro. On the low... Players see the Knicks are developing, bro. Forget what the fans or Twitter and all that was saying, because a lot of people forget. When the Knicks signed Jalen Brunson, the media downplayed it. We'll see what the players were saying. They was like, "Oh wow, the Knicks came off." Dame Lillard, a lot of them guys came out talking. Steph Curry, a lot of them. So with that said, that narrative is slowly dying as far as the players not wanting to be here. Because on the low, a lot of people see what's going on. But as far as everything else he said, that's the truth, bro. Like, we hate on that. We hate on the dude who's all NBA. And we don't get that a lot, bro. We don't get that a lot. The last ones that I recall is Melo, Ewing. I think Tyson Chandler was Defensive Player of the Year, so he made an all-NBA. Obviously, Randle. Off the top of my head, I can't really name anybody else. Ariel, help me out if you could.
Listen, man. There's a time, if you listen to a lot, listen, but you got a guy like Pop praising the Knicks and Tibbs, saying that, you know what, there's one thing the Knicks didn't miss out on was hiring Tom Thibodeau. This is Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Giving the Knicks praise on how they're moving. You got front office execs doing it. You got players that are talking good about the Knicks, stars around the league. That's changing the perception. So that comment right there, while it's partly true, it's not always the big picture of the fan base. Because let's be real, man. Let's be honest. Let's take a real, honest conversation right here. I met half of these people on Twitter that you see, these personalities, right? And I could tell you off the bat, they're not who they portray to be. So with that being said, most of these guys that are toxic or like negative on Twitter every day, they don't go to events. They don't go to games half of the time. They're not outside. They're not there in the in the presence of Knick events. So that comment right there, while it's partly true, like you said, it's steadily dying. The real Knicks fans, are at these type of things, supporting, riding what I got. It's easy to, you know, go around and bitch every day about every little thing about the team, but it's more as actually opens up your mind when you start saying, you know what? Let me do something for a change. Let me put my toxicity to the side and say, you know what? Let me get behind these guys. And you don't realize Julius Randle just said it. He said it was dope when he had to bounce back game against the Clippers. The fans getting behind me, that motivates him. And then you don't realize certain players feed off that. Every player is different. You know what I'm saying? He might be that guy that needs a little bit of a push to get himself going. Cheer for him when he starts hitting his shots. Get him behind him. And guess what? You're going to see the best of this team when you do that.
Facts.
And you know, it's not like we're not telling you to like turn a blind eye when these guys have a bad game. Like it's okay to criticize, but bro, to be a true fan is not to kick your teammates when they're down. That's when they need us the most. When Randall is struggling, we don't go, oh yeah, he's trash, he's doing horrible. Yeah, no shit, he's doing horrible. But bro, let's you know what I mean? Let's encourage him to do better. That's our take on it. That's what people are missing with us. People are just like, oh, you're Randall defenders. You're Randall. Like, yeah, he's my teammate. He's my power forward.
Like, you know what's crazy with social media now? Like, when you're an actual fan of your team and you support them, you get called names. Like, it's the first time I ever heard of shit like this.
Same here.
And we criticize, bro. If you go back to season 1 and 2, Knicks Anonymous, we called him the fidget spinner. We said we could trade him, bro. We were advocates for getting him out of here. But then we had to do a self analysis and understand what he was bringing to the table. And overall, what he was bringing to the table was good basketball for the Knicks. And it's still like that. Whether he is struggling, yes. And we literally broke down as to why. And if you still can't see that, again, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Here we go.
That's the major problem. That's the major problem with a lot of fans.
And that's how we're going to end it, just like that, bro. Shout out to Ariel. Bro, we're definitely going to see Ariel on the show a lot more. He's definitely one of those guys that could relate to us a lot. We love Ariel's
content.
Check out
Gold School Retro, man. Those are some great shows, by the way.
That's a fact.
Likewise, man. If you guys haven't subscribed, man, make sure you do so. It's gaining a lot of traction. Like I said, man, I'm working on getting physical because I do be hitting these players up and I'm trying to get them on there. They show me love. Obviously, you see Muggsy Bogues retweeting my tribute I did for him. Mark Price even showed me love. And y'all know who followed me? The legend, man, Earl of Pearl Monroe. I got a tribute coming out for him. I told him on his birthday. I DM'd him. I told him on his birthday. I said, I'm going to give you a tribute for your birthday. He hit the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, shout out to Earl of Pearl.
That's what's up. So, yes, the links will definitely be down in the description to go check out Ariel. Our links will also be in the description. Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. I didn't shout you guys out in the beginning. I'm sorry. I got a little too excited because Ariel is definitely our first official guest on the show. So, Ariel, you made Knicks Anonymous history. Clap it up for Ariel. You already know.
Anytime, man. Yo, listen, man. Anytime y'all want me to hop on, you know, if I'm available, I'm ready to talk ball, man.
Got you.
Always great takes, man. Yo, so I'm LJ.
Stevie in the building.
That is Ariel.
I'll be Hoops 84.
You already know. And we'll see y'all next time on next episode of Knicks Anonymous. Peace.